All right, how many have been tempted already today? How many was tempted to stay in bed this morning? How many was tempted to hit the snooze button? How many yielded to that temptation? Amen. I have to purposely set my alarm clock, you know, a few minutes early or something like that, just so that I can hit that snooze button to feel like I'm getting somewhere. Amen. I'm not as disciplined as most. I normally try to get up at 5 a.m. in the morning to get my Bible time in before the children wake up. And sometimes that 5 a.m. comes early and temptation comes to me and says, don't you want to sleep a little longer? And my flesh says, yeah, we do. And then the flesh says, well, let's just hit that snooze button. It'll go back off in 10 minutes. And I yield to temptation and I give in to that. Amen. But I'm glad that I didn't yield to temptation when it comes to missing church. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. Well, let's turn over to the verse that we gave from memory last week. And that is Luke 4:4. Luke 4:4, as we talk about this area of temptation again, Luke 4:4. Being aware that you and I are going to suffer temptation every day, multiple times throughout the day, sometimes multiple times in an hour. Amen. So Luke 4:4. And we're going to quote that together. That's our memory verse there. And by the way, to say your memory verses, you can give those to Mrs. Dawson. She'll take those down. Amen. And that'll be a blessing. Luke 4:4. Amen. All right. And once we get everybody there, let's go ahead and read that. Luke 4:4. We'll say the reference. We'll read the verse and then the reference. Here we go. Luke 4:4. And Jesus answered him, saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Luke 4:4. Amen. Let's pray and then we'll get right into this. Father, thank you so much for allowing us to see our Lord and Savior battle this thing called temptation and win, and giving us an example of how we can battle it and win as well. Thank you so much for loving us, Lord, and I pray that you will speak to our hearts in this Sunday school hour and give us the understanding that we need to have today over this idea of temptation. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Meet our need now in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. All right. Last week, we just kind of gave an overview of temptation. Let me give you some of the things that we discussed last year before we actually get into this today. How many actually bought back the song that I gave out last week, Yield Not to Temptation? How many bought it back? Amen. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. So we're going to need some extra copies here because we're going to go over that again. And Miss Katie, could you go and make me about 25 copies of this? I would appreciate it. Thank you, ma'am. I'll leave this over here. All right. We're going to talk about that song in just a minute. And give you some things here. But we talked about this. What is temptation? We looked at the concordance definition of temptation was a putting to proof by experiment of good or experience of evil, a solicitation, a discipline, or provocation. By implication, it's an adversity that we may go through or something that is tempting. And we looked at that definition. Then we also looked at the word tempt in the Old Testament in Genesis 22 and verse 1. And that word is actually very, very close to that. It means to test or to adventure or to prove or to try or to attempt. And so when you look at both, they're very closely related, although they're not exactly the same, but they're closely related. Both in the Old Testament and the New, the connotation is pretty much the same, a putting to proof or to experience by adversity and to see if we're going to choose correctly. And by the way, we're all tempted every day. Let's just face the fact. Yes, and by the way, when Satan tries to tempt you and I, he uses the same way he tempted Eve and he tempted Jesus. Mm-hmm. He appeals to your, what is that? Flesh. He appeals to your flesh. Amen. Let me give you the blanks to fill in your book. And then we're going to talk about several things this morning. In your blanks, you have Roman numeral 1, the pattern of the tempter. The pattern of the tempter. T-E-M-P-T-E-R, the pattern of the tempter. A is the temptation of the flesh. Mm-hmm. Temptation of the flesh. By the way, the devil has no new tricks. Why is that? The old ones still work. The old ones still work. The temptation of the flesh. B is the temptation of ambition. In other words, the temptation of the eyes. The number C is the temptation of pride and sensationalism. Pride and sensationalism. By the way, you will see in A, B, and C the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And those are the three enemies of the Christian, basically. When you talk about the world, the flesh, and the devil. Right. Roman number 2, the power of the scriptures. Mm-hmm. Power of the scriptures. Now, we probably won't get past that, so we'll stop with that for today. All right, so everybody got those down? Anybody need to repeat those? B, the temptation of ambition.
I need the fresh, Pastor.
Okay. Roman number 1, the pattern of the tempter. A, the temptation of the flesh. B, the temptation of ambition or eyes. And then C, the temptation of pride and sensationalism. All right. Let's just talk about this for a minute. We have an enemy. His name is Satan. And take one of these and pass these out. If you need one, take one. If you don't, I'll just go ahead and pass them on back. Everyone needs one. We have an adversary. His name is the devil. If you have an adversary, what does that mean? An adversary.
Enemy.
Opponent. So if I've got an adversary or an opponent or an enemy, what is that person normally going to try to do to me?
Attack.
Get the upper hand. Do whatever it takes to get me down. Okay, so we have this adversary. The Bible says over in 1 Peter, the devil has a roaring lion walketh about, what? Seeking whom he may devour. But then what does it say? Whom resists. You know what resist means? It means to oppose, steadfast in the faith. So we know the devil is our enemy. His desire is to push us away from the things of God. He wants to come between you and God. Why? Why does he want to come between you and God? Why does the devil want to come between you and God? Steve?
Because when we're in our flesh,
we break our fellowship with God. And when we break our fellowship with God by proxy, what do we do?
Backslide.
We do backslide. Ben?
Build fellowship with Satan.
Exactly. Build fellowship with Satan. We're either going to be in fellowship with God or in fellowship with the devil. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
There is no in-between ground. And so he wants to go between you and God. So by proxy, you're not worshiping God, but you are worshiping him. When Eve disobeyed God, who did she obey? So you're always going to be obeying God or the devil. And you say, well, I'm just obeying myself. Well, I rest my case. Amen. Now, so you count it as it is. Amen.
There it is.
You say, I'm my own man. I'm my own woman. You're in bad shape if you are. Amen. Now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me. Amen. All right. So Jesus going through the temptations here in Luke chapter number 4, did it to prove his deity to the world and his perfection, and also that he could, by the example, pass the temptation that you and I struggle to pass. By the way, Eve and Adam were approached in the same way you will be approached.
Mm-hmm.
The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And the exact same way that Jesus was approached.
Mm-hmm.
The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Why those three? Why those three? Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride. Why those three?
It encompasses everything.
It encompasses everything, yes. What did you say, Carly?
Because the flesh is weak.
Flesh is weak?
Mm.
What else?
Ben?
We're vulnerable in those areas, Ben?
Well, Scott just took the words right out of my mouth.
In a nutshell, they work. They work. I played football in high school. And we had this one play that was a sweet play, but it was like a trick play. And guess what? We ran until we couldn't run it anymore. That play. Why? It worked. Why run something different when I can get 50 yards on one play? Why would I go back and go up the middle and get beat up when I can run outside and outrun their coverage? So we ran that play until they did what? Until they stopped it or found out. Amen. And they put somebody out there. When they put somebody out there, guess what we did then? We changed it. Went the other way. And that's what the devil does. He says, okay, I'm going to stand here. I'm going to oppose you. I'm going to stand between you and God. And when we find that out, he says, okay, you got that one? Well, let me stand over here. If I can't get you with lust of the flesh, maybe I can get you with lust of the eyes. Then when we find that out, he stands over here. Well, I'll get you with the pride of life. Now, we're going to give in to one of the three if we're not careful. But we're all careful, right?
Yes, sir, Pastor.
We try to be. Amen. That's right. All right. So now, by the way, look at Luke 4. And notice verse number 1, Jesus being full of the Holy Ghost. How many would say that means he's spirit-filled? Amen.
Yes.
Returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. How many would agree with me that the Spirit of God led him to this temptation?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yes, he did.
By the way, God will allow you to be tested sometimes, okay, to see where you stand. In other words, he knows where you stand, but to let you see where you stand.
Amen.
How many of y'all ever said, I would never do X, Y, and Z? And then you got in X, Y, and Z situation, and you did not do what you said you would do. Amen. My wife and I, before we had kids, we said, well, I'm never going to let my kids play all over the house and have junk all over the house. And then we had kids. And guess what I found all over the house? Stuff. Steve, you don't know anything about this yet, sir. He said, I got enough sisters and brothers. Yes, he does. Amen. And so now I had to go back and eat my words. I said, I would never do this. And now I've got to amend my constitutional ways of raising my children. And so we had to bring out discipline. But anyway, that's another thing. So the pattern of the tempt, let's talk about this just a little bit. Amen. By the way, there's certain ways that Satan works when he tempts you and I. We used to do this when I played high school and football. During our lunch period, we would go and watch films. How many play sports before basketball or something like that? We watch films. Why do we watch films? Because we want to be entertained? No. Why do we watch films? What is that? What are we learning? Learning what the other team does. And by the way, we would watch both the past week game that we played, and then we would watch the future team that we're going to play next week. Why would we watch both of those games? See what we messed up on. See what we can improve on. Okay, this is what happened last week. We went here, we ran this, that didn't work. Oh, you missed your assignment, you missed that assignment, let's do this, let's get this thing up. Okay, we can improve here. What worked that we did? That worked, this worked. Okay, now we went ahead and looked at the future game coming. Why did we look at the future game? Come on in. To see what they changed, yes? See their weaknesses? How to outsmart the opponent, all these things are correct. In other words, we watched them to see what their strengths were so we could either defuse them or avoid them. But then we saw what their weaknesses were so that we could do what? Exploit them. If we saw there was a slow man on the outside, guess who we're going to attack?
The slow man.
The slow man. If we saw there was a man on the line that really, you know, he stood up and didn't really block a whole lot, guess what we're going to run at?
Him.
We're going to knock him over and run right past him. So we studied films. Do you know that the devil studies you?
Yeah.
And do you know that the demons study you? And they give a report back on how to defeat you. And they know your weaknesses of the flesh and of the eyes and of the pride of life. How many ladies like to window shop? Y'all be honest now. No, not me. The devil knows if he can get you to window shop long enough, if you don't have discipline, you will probably do what? Buy something. If you don't have discipline. Now, a lot of ladies have discipline. They're going to the store and they're not going to buy a thing. I'm not going to buy a thing. I'm just going to look. Amen. My mother, she used to tickle me. Well, it didn't tickle me when I was a kid. It used to really make me mad. But she would go into the mall and she would go from this point all the way through the whole mall and buy absolutely nothing. And then she'd come past all the stores she went to and stop at the first one and buy something. And being a young boy, I didn't understand that methodology. And I thought, Mom, why didn't we just stop, buy it at the first store and go home? And what did she tell me? Price comparing. I'm price comparing. I said, well, can I just wait here next time and you go and come back? Leave me at the playroom or something because, this is, you know, you got this little kid, you know, 7 years old walking through the mall. I want to go play. I don't want to be there, you know, tied to her. Amen. So I'd go hide in clothes and stuff like that and, you know, annoy her and get spanked for it. Amen. When you're looking at this, you know, the tempter, he knows your weaknesses. He knows what's going on. You and I have to guard against what he does. Our mistakes have to be confessed to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we've got to defend. By the way, Paul gave the answer to temptation in Galatians 2:20. Let's go over there real quick. Galatians 2:20. Galatians 2:20. And first one there, let me see your hand. You can read that. Galatians 2:20. Stephen?
I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, but live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself.
Amen. I'm crucified with Christ. Can you tempt a corpse?
No, you can't.
You can't. Can a corpse respond to sin? No.
No, they cannot.
When we get baptized, what are we representing? Death.
Death of our sins.
Death of ourself.
Yeah.
What does the Bible say? Buried with him in likeness of his death.
Yeah. Yep.
Raised to walk in what?
Newness
of life. So when I get baptized, the vision is I'm going to get in this casket. This is not a casket, but I'm just, you know. I'm going to get in this casket. I'm going to lay down, and I'm not going to get back up. The Spirit of God in me, though, is going to raise me back up and lead this body now. Mm-hmm. That's the picture of baptism. The old person is dead and he doesn't respond to sin. Okay? Right. You can't tempt a dead person.
Mm-mm.
Amen? And so Paul's solution to this, he says, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. He says, but yet not I. He said, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So the pattern of the tempter is to make sure that he can basically get your flesh and get your flesh working in such a way that it would please him. Go back to Genesis chapter number 3. And I want to show you the three points here that they have here, your A, B, and C, the flesh, the ambition, or the eyes. And the pride of life or sensationalism. Genesis 3. And in Genesis chapter 3, let's go to verse number 6. Okay. Now, of course, we already know the story here. The serpent is trying to tempt Eve. He's lied to her. She is getting in a conversation with him. And notice what happens in verse number 6. Well, number 5. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes should be open. You should be as gods, knowing good and evil. Now, your A says temptation of the flesh. Okay? When it says temptation of the flesh, what does that literally mean? Temptation of the flesh.
My body.
My body. What are some things that our body needs?
Food.
What else does our body need?
Water.
What else does our body need?
Rest.
These are all things that our body needs. We physically need these things. Food, water, rest. What else does our body need?
Oxygen.
What's that, brother?
Oxygen
is a necessity. Without it, we are not going to make it very far. Okay? So these are all things that we need. Notice what happens here in Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 6. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, what is that the lust of?
Flesh.
It's food. I need food to eat to stay alive. Now, did she need that food? No, she didn't need that food. What is the object of temptation oftentimes? To get you something that you think you need, but you don't really need that. She thought it was good for food. Now, let's just be honest. Was it good food? More than likely, it probably was good food. But was it food that she should have? No, that was the problem. It's not food that she should have, okay? So that's the lust of the flesh there. But now let's know. And that it was pleasant to the eyes. What is that? Lust of the what? Eyes. That would be your B, the temptation of ambition. I see something, I'm going to be ambitious and go after what I see. Are there things that we see that we want? Yes. Yes. Are there things that we see that we desire? Yes. Are there things that we see that we want and desire that we can have? Yes. Are there things that we see and desire that we should not have? Yes. I.e., something that doesn't belong to you. I.e., someone else's car doesn't belong to you. Someone else's spouse doesn't belong to you. Someone else's child doesn't belong to you. Someone else's bank account doesn't belong to you. So what should I do? Stay away from it.
Yes, sir.
But now E finds that the lust of the flesh here has gotten her. And she saw it was pleasant to the eyes, lust of the eyes. And a tree to be desired to make one wise. What is that? That's your C. The temptation of pride and sensationalism. She says, it's going to make me wise. It's going to make me appear better. And so I can appear better to Adam. Does she need to appear better to Adam? No. I can be better in God's eyes. Does she need to be better in God's eyes? No. But Satan had sold her that, and she's being tempted now. The same three work on you and I. Our flesh, we see something, we want it. Mm-hmm. Our eyes, and the pride of life. Notice what happens, the end result here. She took of the fruit thereof and did eat, gave also her husband with her, and he did eat. Of course, we know the rest of the story on that. So when you're looking at this thing called temptation, the pattern of the tempter, there are many different ways that Satan wants to try to exploit you and I. He looks at your life. He knows you from birth. He's had the demons watching over you, and he wants to try to exploit everything about you. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and pride of life will always work on you if you're unprepared. Mm-hmm. So our job is to be crucified with Christ. Make sure that we're dead so that these things don't affect us. Okay. So by paying attention to what Christ did in Luke chapter number 4, let's go back over there. You and I can avoid certain things. Luke chapter 4. And we're going to look at something here in just a minute. Luke chapter 4. Because again, temptation can be good. It can be bad. Luke chapter 4, and notice what it says here, number 2, being 40 days tempted of the devil, in those days he did eat nothing, and when they were ended, he afterward hungered. Now, by the way, if you don't eat anything for a while, are you going to be hungry? So the devil began enticing Christ with a temptation that appealed to his physical appetite. He approached him in a moment of, we would call, weakness.
Yes, sir.
Weakness. When you're on a fast, what do you want? Food. Does it really matter what type of food it is? When you're fasting, it really doesn't matter. Everything seems to taste good. When you're hungry and you go shopping, everything looks good. Even if it's no good, it looks good. Amen. By the way, you get weak. Jesus had fasted here for 40 days in the hot, barren Judean desert. And it's significant here of that Satan attacked his what? His weakness. You notice he didn't attack his strength.
Right.
What did he attack? His weakness. He knew he was hungry. Mm-hmm. And he attacked that. Listen to me now. Satan is not interested in attacking your strengths.
That's right.
If you have an area that you're strong in, he's not going to attack you in that area. Why? He knows he can't win. It'd be as useless as me going up against LeBron James.
Yes, sir, Pastor.
I am no match for LeBron James unless I fight dirty. Okay, that's the only way that I could get him. And I had to play like Draymond Green, which it would get me suspended. So you can't do that. Amen. Come on, he's laughing because he knows what I'm talking about. Amen. And so that's the only way I can be successful is to cheat. Let me read you a statement here. Satan looks for opportunities of weaknesses in your life. It is a dangerous time in our lives as Christians when we are tired, sick, or hungry. That is a time when we can sink into self-pity and we often make mistakes. It's easy to rationalize doing what we want to do and letting down our guards when we are physically weak. When do most people get involved in fornication at a moment of weakness? When do most people get involved in stealing at a moment of weakness? When do most people get susceptible to drugs in a moment of weaknesses? And our strength, we're not going to give into those things. But in a moment of weakness, we will. It is very, we got to be very careful. When we're weak, when we're tired, when we're hungry. Mm-hmm. By the way, how many of y'all get irritable when you're hungry? We can always tell when Joshua's hungry, he gets irritable as a bear. I mean, he's irritable as a bear woken up in hibernation. I mean, he will just growl and just get. But you give him some food, man, he's like the Snicker bar commercial. I mean, he's just happy as can be. And so we know that. So when you get thirsty, Jesus was thirsty. He was probably dehydrated, probably weak, probably dizzy, probably had dry mouth, fatigue, all those things. He was probably hungry. And so he wanted to eat. And so the devil came to him tempting his flesh. And so we've got to be careful. By the way, it is a misnomer that sharks, their reputation. What are sharks known for? That was that? Being vicious, being aggressive. What else are they known for? Being what?
Frenzy.
Get into a frenzy. What else? Attacking people. Not eating people. They say, brother. It's been proven that sharks are actually one of the laziest fish. Does that surprise you? They're one of the laziest fish. They actually are opportunistic fish. What sets a shark off? Blood.
Yeah.
What does blood normally mean?
Food.
And what type of food? Injured food. And so I don't have to work as hard because they're injured. So sharks are really not as aggressive as we think. They're more opportunistic. Because they smell the blood, they sense the blood, they sense the prey, they sense the distress, and so they go after that. How many of y'all watch the wildlife channels? When the wolves and the lions are after the herd. Do they jump in the middle of the herd and get one of those guys? What do they normally do? They get the straggler. They try to isolate one straggler, two stragglers, and get them. Why? It makes no sense to go in the middle and get trampled. So I'll get the weak link. May I submit to you that Satan does the same thing when it comes to tempting you? He wants to get your weakness. He wants to get the area that is weak in your life. He wants to get that area that you don't have protected, and he will tempt you in that area, be it your flesh, be it your eyes, or be it your pride. He's going to get you in that area. And so when you look at what Jesus did, Jesus said down there in verse number 4, because Satan said this, the devil said unto him, thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it may be made bread. Now, is anything wrong with making a stone bread? Is anything wrong with making a stone bread when you're hungry? No. What's wrong with making a stone bread? It's hard. Well, not for Jesus, it's not. What is the problem with Jesus making the stone bread? Was that? He would be submitting to the temptation and the tempter.
Yep.
In other words, he's obeying the devil. And so if he's obeying the devil, who is he not obeying by proxy? His father, God. And notice what Jesus said in John 8:29. Go over there real quick. John, hold your finger there. John 8:29. John 8:29. All right. Who's got John 8:29? Read that. Steve? Now, he said always. Always means what?
Always.
So if I listen to the tempter and turn bread into stone, or turn stone into bread, to satisfy myself, what have I done? I've given into the tempter.
Yep.
And then that means I can't please God. By the way, was Jesus power to please himself. No, right there it said, I do always those things that please who? The Father, God. And so Satan's trying to get him to please himself. And Jesus says, no, there's nothing wrong with bread being made out of a stone. But if you tell me to do it, I am not doing what my Father told me to do it. I'm pleasing myself and I'm obeying you. I'm not obeying my Father. And so the temptation of the flesh comes that way. At the devil's request, he wants you to do something. By the way, we used to do this, give this statement to our teenagers in Belgium, and it's still true. The devil always is going to try to get you to do the right thing in the wrong way. He knows the average Christian is not going to out and out do what's wrong. The antenna will go up. That's wrong. So he will come back and package it differently and say, like Eve, yea, hath God said. He's not going to come up and say, disobey God. Why? Because we'll say what? We're supposed to obey God.
Yes, sir.
But he'll say, but don't you want this thing over here? That makes your flesh feel good. Don't you want this? You know you like it. Look at it. It's shiny. It'll make you seem better. It'll make you look better. Isn't that how they do on commercials?
Yes, sir.
You know, they show these people up here with all the muscle and all the bodies and whatnot. And you take this product, you'll be like this. We're like, yeah, let's take it. And then nothing happens.
That's right, Pastor. That's right.
Something does happen. You lose your money. Amen.
Oh, yes.
And so the devil tries to do the same thing. And he's always going to try to get you to do the right thing in the wrong way because he can twist it around to make it suit him so that you and I displease God. Did it work on Eve?
Yes,
I rest my case. I rest my case. Amen. Did it work on David, a man after God's own heart?
Oh, yes.
I rest my case. What did he do? He saw Bathsheba. Did it work on Samson? I rest my case. He said, get me that woman down there for she pleaseth me. And so it can work. Amen. So Jesus' purpose was not to please himself, but to glorify God. Satan will always appeal to your physical appetites and my physical appetites in a way which is not wrong in and of itself. But it is tempting us to do something outside the will of God, convincing us that we deserve to be happy. Listen to this statement here. The devil knows it's easy to convince us that we deserve to be happy and to have our needs met. How many of y'all want to be happy? All of us. How many want to have our needs met? All of us. Many believers have fallen to physical temptations because they rationalize doing wrong in order to meet a legitimate need using wrong means to meet needs guarantees us sin and heartbreak. Take out our song here real quick. I want to show you a few things here with the song before we get done. And we're not going to have a chance to go over all this, but just a few things I want to bring to your attention. Again, what's the goal to facing temptation, being crucified with Christ? Crucified with Christ. I want to ask you if you can come up with some verses that can help us out, because this is some good, good teaching in this song. Notice it says, you're not temptation, this song. How many have heard this song before? Many of us. Notice the first stanza. Yield not to temptation, for yielding is sin. Each victory will help you some other to win. Fight manfully onward, dark passions subdue. Look ever to Jesus, he will carry you through. Acts a savior to help you, comfort, strengthen, and keep you. He is willing to aid you. He will carry you through. We're just going to look at the first stanza here just for the next few minutes here. And I want you to see something. Yield not to temptation. What scriptural reference comes to mind when you hear yield not to temptation? What scriptural reference of protection? Yes. That is one. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. How about 1 Corinthians 10:13? There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear. So it says, yield not to temptation. I don't have to yield to temptation. I can submit myself to God. I can resist the devil. There is no temptation taking me but such as is common to man. But then it says, for yielding is sin. What verse comes to mind? For yielding is sin. Yeah.
Romans 10:13 says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Well, that is true. Amen. And we can get saved that way. But when it comes to yielding to sin, what verse comes to mind? Verse of protection. How about James 1:13?
Yeah.
Look at that real quick. James 1:13. James 1:13. For yielding is sin, he says down there. 1:13, let no man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempted any man. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when love hath conceived, it bringeth forth what? Sin.
Sin
when it's finished, bringeth forth what? Death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. So he says, yield not to temptation, for yielding is sin. And so temptation in and of itself is not sin. It's giving into it. Did Jesus give into it? No. What did he say? It is written. Okay, going on with the song. Notice this, each victory will help you some other to win. That one we could also use James 4:7. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you.
Yep.
Notice the next part of that. Fight manfully onward. What verse can you think of that deals with fighting? Fight manfully onward. In other words, be a man or woman, whichever the case may be. What verse comes to mind? I fought a good fight. I finished the faith. Yes. Amen. What's another good verse? What's that?
Resist the devil
and he'll flee from you. Amen. Submit yourself therefore to God. Resist the devil. How about 1 Timothy 6:12? Let's look at that one too. 1 Timothy 6:12. All these are good. 1 Timothy 6:12. Because if I'm going to fight against the temptation that Satan has, I've got to be able to stand. 1 Timothy 6:12. Fight the good fight of what? Faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and has professed a good profession before many witnesses. So fight a good fight. It says, fight manfully onward in the song. Then it says, dark passions subdue. What does that mean, dark passions subdue? Dark passions subdue. They will go away. But what else do I have to do before they will go away? Dark passions subdue. The word subdue means to bring something under subjection. Get it under control. How many of y'all ever had a thought of hurting somebody?
Oh, yeah.
That's a dark passion.
Mm-hmm.
How many ever had a thought about defaming somebody's name? That's a dark passion. That's a passion that is dark. Jesus is light, and in him there's no darkness at all. But it says dark passions. We have these dark passions in our heart. By the way, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? In our heart, there are some dark passions there. And do you know that most atrocities that happen in America are because of dark passions in a person's heart that are not subdued? Let's be honest. We all got them. If a husband gets mad at a wife, he gets a dark passion that comes up and he's got to subdue that with the word of God. The wife, she's got to do the same thing. She's got to subdue that. With the children sometimes, you got to subdue that. With a brother and sister in Christ, you got to subdue that dark passion. If you don't subdue it and put it under subjection, guess what? It's going to get the best of you, and you will do it. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
We will. So it says dark passion subdue. Notice Ephesians 4:32. No, not 4:32. I'm sorry. 1 Corinthians 9:27. Notice what Paul says about that. 1 Corinthians 9:27. Again, these are some combatants to temptation. 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 27. Now, none of us like temptation, but it's a fact of life. What did Paul say he had to do here? He says, verse 26, I therefore so run, not as uncertainty, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. But notice what he says in verse 27, but I keep under my body. Basically, he says, you know, I buffet my body. I bring it in subjection, lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. So Paul said, basically, I got to beat my body up. In other words, to keep it in control. Otherwise, it will make me do things that I don't want to do. Neither do I need to do.
Right.
And so dark passions subdue. Look ever to Jesus. He will carry you through. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 comes into play there. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. So this song has a lot of good teaching in it. We're going to finish this up next week. But just think about some of those things. Yield not to temptation. Why? For yielding is sin. Each victory will help you, some other to win. When I win a victory, it gives me a chance to win another one. Fight manfully onward. Fight the good fight of faith. Dark passions subdue. Those things that are in me, I've got to make sure that they're subdued. By the way, they can only be subdued when I am crucified with Christ. I've got to be dead to those because they're there. And by the way, you and I have resurrection power. We can bring those dark passions back up with that old man. He says, look ever to Jesus. He will carry you through. Acts the Savior to help you, comfort, strengthen, and keep you. He is willing to aid you. He will carry you through. And we'll go ahead and finish that out next week. But yield not to temptation is the song here. We want to make sure that we can do what Jesus did. Go back to Luke chapter number 4. Give you our memory verse for next week. Luke chapter number 4. And we had four this time, and Jesus answered, saying, it is written that man should not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. This time we're going to give you verse number 8. Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only, shalt thou serve. So Luke 4, 8, if you get that verse, you can say that verse to Mrs. Dawson, Mrs. Rose, I'm sorry. Miss Rose, we'll take those from you. Luke 4 and verse 8. Temptation, by the way, you'll be tempted as soon as we say the last amen going out these doors.
Yes, sir.
Some of y'all are going to be tempted by the snacks. Some of y'all are going to be tempted by some other things. Some of you are going to be tempted by your children. Some of you are going to be tempted because you're going to get a spot on your clothes. And the pride of life is going to come up. And so many different things. Just remember that there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is coming to man. We're all going to be tempted in some way. The devil's going to try your flesh if that doesn't work. He's going to try your eyes if that doesn't work. He's going to try your pride. And one of those three will work unless you're crucified with Christ.
Amen.
Amen. All right, Luke 4, 8 is our verse for next week. And then we'll look at, well, you know what? Brother Tukio is here next week, so we won't do that until the following week. So you got a couple weeks to work on that. Amen. All right. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer and ask God's blessing. Father, thank you for the training about temptation. Lord, it's nothing new to us. The flesh is weak. We know that. Our eyes can be deceived, and we know that. Our pride is forever there, Lord, unless we are crucified with Christ. Help us to be crucified today, Lord, against the ploys and the tactics that Satan brings our way. Lord, we may not give into it, but we may answer as Jesus did and say, it is written. And then come back with a verse of scripture, Lord. The verses that we looked at in yielding not to temptation are some things that we can take with us. Help us, Lord, now to live a life of victory, knowing that we're crucified with Christ and knowing that he has claimed and gained the victory. And Lord, we can walk in the boldness of the Holy Spirit of God and face anything as long as we're in Christ. Help us now as we go forth. Bless the refreshment time, Lord, and help us to have the victory over these temptations of the lust of the flesh. In Jesus' name, amen.